welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. And we are beginning to make our final lap on a series that we've been in for the last few episodes, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Disciples, and we have made it to habit number 5. This series has been based off the very well-known popular book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, by Dr. Stephen Covey. And what we are doing in this series is looking at each one of these habits and seeing if they apply to following Jesus, discipleship. Will these seven habits make us more effective in following Jesus? Hence the name, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Disciples. And today is habit 5. We should seek to understand before we try to be understood. We need to seek to understand before we try to be understood. I want you to think about two random people. They both wear glasses. They have different prescriptions. What if those people switched glasses? Do you think they would see clearly? Well, of course not. They have different ways of seeing the world. One person may be nearsighted, one person may be farsighted, and if you don't have the right lens that you need to see clearly, nothing is going to look the way that it's supposed to look. And if we ask those people to change glasses, and if they complain that they couldn't see where they needed to go, it would be crazy for us to ask the question, well, why not? Those glasses work for the other person. Why don't they work for you? It's crazy, but we often try to prescribe solutions to people before we diagnose their problems. If we step back for a minute and realized, hey, those people wearing those glasses have those glasses for a specific reason, then we could answer our own question when we asked, why don't those glasses work for you? They weren't designed to work for you. If we knew the problem before we tried to prescribe the solution, then we wouldn't be in such of a mess. I mean, would you trust a doctor who prescribed you a medication without first diagnosing your symptoms? I hope not. You wouldn't want to continue to see that doctor because they were giving you advice without knowing what you needed advice for. To diagnose a problem, we must first listen. And we spend years learning to read and write and speak, but we spend much less time learning to listen. In fact, Dr. Covey writes in his book on page 277, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're either speaking or they're preparing to speak. Have you found yourself being that way? Now, when someone is talking to you, you aren't really listening to what they're saying. Rather, you're thinking about what you're going to say next. In fact, Dr. Covey points out that there's really 5 ways that we listen to other people. Number 1, we ignore. Maybe sometimes we turn our head the other way and we don't really tune in. Or maybe we listen to them, but we don't really focus on what they're saying. It's kind of like those I consent forms that you sign sometimes electronically when you're downloading a new software or new operating system. Does anyone really go through all of that information word for word, or do you just get down to the bottom and click I agree or submit? You weren't really listening. You were just kind of ignoring all of the words. Number 2, maybe it's not ignoring, maybe it's pretending. It's when someone's talking to you and you're saying, uh-huh, Yeah, sure. Oh, really? I mean, the words are coming in, but you aren't focusing that much. You're pretending to be engaged, but you really aren't. Number three is selective listening. This is where people listen to hear things for their benefit or maybe for their exoneration. And then later on, they will say, I don't remember us talking about that. It's kind of maybe what you do whenever you call in someplace and they have a menu of options and the recording on the other end of the phone says, if you want so-and-so, press 1. If you want so-and-so, press 2. If you want so-and-so, press 3. You're listening just for the name that you want to hear and you're kind of ignoring everything else. That's selective listening. Number four is attentive listening. Think about students sitting in a classroom and they're typing out every word that the professor says on their laptop or they're writing it down on some paper. They're doing everything they can to catch every word, but they're not as focused about the meaning behind those words. They're just recording a lot of information. The fifth way that we listen is by far the best. It's when we listen with empathy. Not sympathy, but with empathy. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy says, I'm sorry, which is good, but empathy takes it to the next level. Empathy says, I understand. Communication experts say that communication is 10% words, 30% sounds, and 60% body language. People know if we're truly listening to them and to be honest, you know if others are truly listening to you. I mentioned five ways that we listen. We ignore, we pretend, selective listening, attentive listening, being empathetic. Let me mention here four ways that we react to the things that we hear when they're said to us. Number one, we might try to evaluate what we've heard. We listen to the other person and then we say, well, that may not be true, or that's not accurate, or that's not a reasonable assumption. How well does that go over when you evaluate what other people try to say? Number two, we probe. Rather than saying they aren't right, we may ask the question, well, what makes you say that? Or why do you feel that way? A third way we react to what we hear, we decide that we need to be the counselor and then we advise. We say, well, here's what I would do, or here's what I've done, or here's what you need to do. But then the fourth way that we often react to what we hear, the best way, is to clarify. We don't evaluate, we don't probe, we don't advise, we simply repeat back what we've heard to make sure we heard it correctly. It's when we say something like, you know, it sounds like what you're saying is blank, or it sounds like what you're feeling is this. Is that correct? Well, let me ask you, between those four ways to react to what we hear, evaluate, probe, advise, or clarify, which one do you think leads to the most empathy, the best way to listen? Well, clearly, when we clarify. Let me give you a few examples or exercises. If someone came up to you complaining about their church family and they said, no one talks to me at church, you know, I wish people cared about me and my faith, what would you say? Well, if you wanted to clarify what they were saying, you would say, it sounds like you feel lonely. Tell me more about that. Now, that would be much better than if you decided to evaluate what they said and say, well, that's not true. I saw someone talking to you the other day. Or if you decided to probe and to say, well, who did you talk to today? What have you done to make yourself available? Or it would even be better if you advised the situation. If you said, well, you know, I've been there in the past, and when I felt that way, here's what I did. Do you think that any of those approaches are going to help in that moment? No, what someone needs to hear is that you heard them say they felt lonely. Or what if someone said, you know, if God truly loved me, I wouldn't be suffering like this. If you're going to clarify what they meant by that, what would you say? Would you say, well, why do you say you're suffering? Would you say, you know, in my life, when I've gone through dark times, not if you want empathy. If you wanted to give empathy, you would say something along the lines of, So I hear that you're hurting and that you're confused. Is that true? Can we discuss this more? What if someone said, everyone else seems happy and jovial and my life is a disaster? How would you be empathetic to that person? Would it be by saying, well, I don't know if your life is a disaster. Think about all of these blessings and then begin to list them. Well, no. It would be something along the lines of, so what you're saying is you don't want to feel left out or lost. Am I hearing you correctly? Dr. Covey makes a profound observation when he says, resolving conflict isn't actually the goal of empathy. Understanding is. You know, a lot of people, when they voice concerns or pain, they're not wanting you to fix the problem. They just want you to listen and to hear where they're coming from. So as we think about this from the lens of being disciples of Jesus, which way is the best way for us to listen? Which way is the best way for us to react? Clearly, as Scripture would have it, we would be people full of empathy, and we would be people who clarify. Whereas Dr. Covey says, we would be people who seek to understand before we focus on being understood. James, the brother of Jesus, would write in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, he would say, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Or what Solomon would write in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. My friend, the best way for others to understand you is for you to understand them. Thank you again for spending some of your day with us here at Road Talk. May you keep your eyes on heaven. God bless you, and I can't wait to talk with you next time.